Okay, well, coming up next on the stream of free radio at freakradio.org, or if you are a Huff fan, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, check on the Huff website at huffsantacruz.org. Huff is Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, and it's a good website to go to, particularly if you want to hear old shows or current shows. Anyway, today is July 3rd, 2022. That's the day you'll be listening to this, if you hear it when it's actually netcast for the first time. And we're going to be looking into the 4th of July's events a little bit. Mostly, however, going back to interviews from the last few weeks, last week actually, including an update from Keith McHenry. And the major part of the show is going to be following up on a flashback that I began on Thursday, having to do with the standoff at the community, both homeless and housed, did in San Lorenzo Park way back in the winter of 2020, December 2020, and then January 2021, that actually created the Benchlands Campground. And it's been sustained to this day, essentially, as the only place that really people can go, realistically speaking. I mean, theoretically, they can go all kinds of different places, but that's where they've ended up going. And indeed, that's where homeless people have gone for the last 3 or 4 years. Initially, of their own initiative, but then eventually at the direction of the police chief, then Andy Mills, Mario Garcia, the Parks and Rec boss, and then city manager Martine Bernal. And it's continued under city manager Matt Huffaker, who has declared the Benchlands a sanctioned campground, however wretched it really is and overcrowded, as his excuse for dumping people from all the other encampments in Santa Cruz, whether it's Highway 1 and 9, or the Poganip, or Coral Street, or Hell's Trail, or the Camp Paradise Trail, or the Second Hell's Trail. It's all been, they've all been sent off to the Benchlands encampment. And now, of course, they're being threatened with elimination, and I guess it's been postponed until the end of the summer or August or who knows what, because I keep getting reports that the city is not respecting proper posting of encampments, although this is disputed by city workers who say the city is respecting it. So it's a little hard to tell what exactly is going on. But we'll be hearing some thoughts on that, maybe able to get an interview or two with folks who are down there, although this is being done the day before this is being netcast on Sunday, so we may not be so successful. I've been trying for quite a while to get a report from activist Brent Adams of the Footbridge Services, who often seems to know a lot of the details about the scurvy activities of the city and the county regarding pretend homeless programs that aren't actually helping homeless people, and homeless programs that are but aren't getting any help from those sources. Now, admittedly, his is one of the prime candidates, and he isn't modest or nervous about mentioning that, nor should he be. But I haven't been able to reach him, so we cannot get an updated report. I'll keep trying, but I keep getting a full answering machine at his Footbridge Services number. Let's roll into the show, and perhaps you'll hang with us.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine
tomorrow being the 4th of July, and this being the 4th of July weekend, not that I'm a big fan of such triumphant celebrations with U.S. supplying huge amounts of guns to encourage the Ukrainians and the Russians to kill each other. Still, it's, you know, Independence Day, you know, independence for the slave owners. That really is, to some extent, what it was all about, as well as those who wanted to grab Native American lands because they didn't like the way the British were trying to stop them, and how the British had, in the Somerset decision over in England, freed a slave, saying that you cannot have, if a slave enters England, he becomes or she becomes free. Didn't apply to the colonies, but I think the southern slave owners were afraid it would, not to mention the northern merchants profiting off of slave owners. That's a bit of the history that doesn't really get mentioned much, even in spite of Black Lives Matter protests. A number of events happening today, if you're listening to this. Well, actually, it's not the today. It is tomorrow, if you're listening to this on the 3rd. There is old-fashioned Independence Day at Wilder Ranch. Step Back in Time reads the online description and celebrate our nation's birthday like they would have done in the early 1900s. Festivities include a family parade at noon, games, children's crafts, live big band music, living history demonstrations, historic speeches, and flag raising. We can all salute. And food and drink are available for sale, or you can bring a picnic lunch. Then in Aptos tomorrow, on the 4th of July, if you're listening to this on the 3rd, it's the 4th of July parade, which may be short, it's just two city blocks long, but it is packed with revelers, and the entire community, I'm reading this, comes out in support of their friends and neighbors in the parade. That's the world's shortest 4th of July parade, according to the bill. I think I was in it once. Parade starts at 10 a.m., so wake up early, and is followed by a party with food, vendors, music, and activities from noon to 4 in Aptos Village Park on July 4th. Then we have the Roaring Camp Bash up in dear old Felton, where you bop on over to the Roaring Camp Railroad in picturesque Santa Cruz Mountains for a 1950s-style gay beating. Independence Day celebration. We certainly didn't do any gay beating in the 50s, did we? The family-friendly event features fun for people of all ages, including hula hoop contests, sock hop, games, and to nosh, an all-American barbecue. So that's another one of those events that's happening tomorrow. Then you have fireworks in Scotts Valley. The only 4th of July fireworks display starts at the parade along Scotts Valley Drive at 3 p.m. And then festivities continue at Sky Park Park. The only time I've ever been there was when they actually had a Black Lives Matter rally there, amazingly enough, 2 years ago, with game booths and classic 4th of July grub, including hot dogs, hamburgers, ice cream, and pie. There's also live music, followed by fireworks. Firework events gates opens at 4 p.m. with fireworks beginning at 9:15 in the evening. But if you want to go up to Boulder Creek and bake in the sun, although it may be cool on the 4th of July, I haven't checked the weather, the annual Boulder Creek Parade attracts, according to this, more than 10,000 attendees every year. If you're a mountain dweller, you won't want to miss this. And then if you want to go down to Watsonville, there's an event also on the 4th of July. It's a hometown parade along Main Street. Features car clubs, tractors, fire engines, antique cars, local nonprofit agencies, equestrian units, and the Watsonville Band. Starts at St. Patrick's Catholic Cathedral at Main and Freedom Boulevard at 2 p.m. tomorrow, if you're listening to this on the 3rd. Of course, it doesn't mention that none of these parades talks about how police clean up homeless people, I should say, sweep them away frequently, particularly in Santa Cruz, which apparently isn't having a parade, but we, HUF, will be down there. That's Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom at noon today. So you might want to take a break from listening to this to wander on down and see what we're up to. We are encouraging people to support folks in the Benchlands and around the city who are facing a vicious city response in terms of closing down shelters, giving people, I suppose this should be considered generous, a tent and a pat on the back, and sending them out into the wilderness without any kind of other shelter. But the city, meanwhile, has $14.5 million to play with. So you decide whether that's a sensible approach. We'll be at the front of the New Leaf Market at, I guess it's Soquel and Pacific, at noon or shortly thereafter, giving out flyers, petitioning for some real accountability by the city, some honesty on the part of the city mangler, Matt Huffaker, and his loyal lieutenants, Lee Butler and Larry Imwali, not to mention the gang of chair warmers known as the Shitty Council, as I like to call them, or as some people call them, the City Consul, as a bunch of con artists who are interested in auctioning off the city to developers and driving out poor people who can't afford to be here, making it even less affordable. But nevertheless, you'll have a library as well as a parking garage if you follow their prescription. So anyway, all these things are happening on the 4th of July. Boulder Creek, Roaring Camp in Felton, Wilder Ranch, Aptos, Scotts Valley, and Watsonville. And if you've missed any of this stuff and you want to read it in more detail, you can check it out. Look up 4th of July events in Santa Cruz online. It's compliments of santacruz.com, which is the Good Times, it looks like. It's either the Good Times website or Good Times is an advertiser. So let's begin with some chatter from Keith McHenry, who I caught what will be now yesterday, if you're listening to this on Sunday, probably as he was putting everything away from a Food Not Bombs meal, but couldn't say for sure. You listen in and see what you think.
Well, I'm with Keith McHenry. Today is the 2nd of July. It's a little after 5. And Keith, what have you been up to, and what have you got to tell us today that is going to encourage us or discourage us?
Oh, I don't know. We were organizing, like, surrounding, ending mandates and stuff like that a bit this morning. So that's one thing I've been supporting. And let's see, I've been organizing around...
Wait, before you go any further, you said you were organizing around, what again, anti-medics?
Stopping the mandate. Stuff.
Oh, anti-mandates. I'm sorry.
Voice and against censorship, and essentially against like this Build Back Better, stakeholder capitalism crap that's going on with AI and
This is up at the university or down in the middle of town.
We're just making flyers and stuff and Twitter accounts and stuff to organize at the 4th of July parade this weekend. So.
Now, where is that parade? I have heard that, I guess it's on Monday, or what?
I think one is over at, one's in Scotts Valley, and I think that's Sunday, that's tomorrow at 2 o'clock.
On Sunday,
I don't know where it is. And then the other one is at, in Aptos, and that I don't know the time of either. But I've been helping make flyers and stuff for that.
So nothing in Santa Cruz, as far as you know?
Not in the city, no, that I'm aware of.
Uh-huh. Although they do have a triple fine zone that will catch you by the short hairs if you, sit down in the wrong place, that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. Yeah, so I got that. And I'm going to leave this area because there's a... somebody does not able to deal with their alarm, they kind of turned it off.
That's good.
There's still the issue of stopping the oversized vehicle law from being, enacted and enforced, and that, I guess, we go before the Coastal Commission on sometime around the 13th, 14th of July, so that people don't lose their vehicles.
Yeah, I think there's a limited time for people to add a letter to the appeal, and I guess they may be able to zoom in to hear it, though I don't think they're going to allow any testimony other than a total of 6 minutes, 3 minutes for the city, 3 minutes for ACLU and Reggie Meisler and those folks who are appealing it. And of course, however long the staff, which has put out this long, long report, which supports the OVO ordinance. That's our own beautiful Santa Cruz Coastal Commission staff.
So at some point we're going to have to organize resistance to that, and probably might as well start now. So that's an important thing. And then, then we're trying to find some of the people who, like Nikki and others, are not answering their phones, the people that were kicked out of Oceana. So that's about nearly 40 people. I'm not sure the number. They're handed pup tents and just told to move up, find a place to set up a pup tent.
Oceana was the last of the six hotels that COVID funding put in supposedly vulnerable elders and people who weren't doing the best into shelter. That's what actually the Union of the Homeless that you've been occasionally working with actually urged happen 2 years ago.
Yeah. In fact, I spent a lot of time on that. And so the thing about that is that's meant that they can't actually kick people out, or they could, but it's like we've filed a cease and desist order against the city from evicting the people out of the benchlands because they don't have space for everybody to be at the benchlands. To remove the people from the bench lands into some kind of safe place for people to live. So that's the situation on that one.
I mean, I've gotten different stories from benchland folks and from city bureaucrats about this. Huffaker, the city mangler or city manager, keeps putting off the deadline, supposedly, and giving a lot of caveats about, only if we have enough shelter and yada, yada, yada. And we're opening up stuff over at the Housing Matters. And we're also not just the Lookout Salvation Army thing, but Salvation Army is also going to open up the Armory in a month for some folks. And also, according to what I've heard by one guy, I don't know how accurate it is, the people who have been forced out of the Armory shelter, the county's Armory shelter, on June 30th, have all been essentially put up in the Paul Lee Loft or other places. I don't know if that's accurate. Do you have any sense of that?
No, I don't know where those people went to, no. It's a shame.
Well, what do you?
And of course, it does seem like more and more. There was maybe they're just traveling through because it's the summer or something. But there was, and when I first got to the meal yesterday, there was quite a few people that I'd never met before that were eating there. So that could be a sign of people finally losing their places more.
When was the last time you were in the benchlands yourself, Keith?
Oh, maybe like 3 days ago. That's very crowded.
And have any reports from anybody about tents being bulldozed? I did get a call from Greg Benson about this.
No one told me anything about it. I know that, I didn't hear any particular issues surrounding,
And then I heard from somebody else that it was only a rat-infested pile of garbage that was bulldozed and not somebody's tent, or that actually Greg went out and saved the tent, but it was there's conflicting stories about what's going on there.
I think they're kind of trying to keep everybody on their toes because hoping they can discourage people from, to move out or whatever. But there is no place for people to move out to. So it's pretty insane. One of the things, like in the last the report in May on their whatever it is quarterly report, they get bragged a bunch of times about their $14 million, but you don't really see evidence of that being used to house people. I mean, the whole thing is a disaster, and you don't see it any level of government, anybody really trying to make a effort to address the fact that so many people are being, evicted and put into the streets. It's pretty shocking.
Indeed.
Last week was the first week I had two people call me specifically to find out how to what you do when you're homeless, because they were just becoming homeless, and they wanted to know. Both had vehicles, or one was renting a vehicle and was about to lose the vehicle, and the other did have an oversized vehicle and had never heard of the oversized vehicle law, and he had just been evicted from where he had been living in it for several years. So he was wandering the streets, and I warned him it's probably not wise to be in the city limits. And he was supposed to be getting a hold of, trying to get into safe parking. I don't know if he ever...
Have you heard of anybody who's actually used the safe parking program?
I haven't talked to anybody from a safe parking program who has admitted that that was the case, but I do see vehicles parked in the Catholic Church out in Aptos, so...
Well, that would be, of course, that wouldn't be the city's program. That would be a county deal.
That was American... That's the Association of Faith Communities thing.
Right, but that... Is that... Is that a city-funded program? I thought that they had lots. They have lots in Santa Cruz that are city-funded. That's what they're using at the Coastal Commission in 2 weeks to claim they have adequate shelter for vehicles, which, of course, they don't.
Oh, yeah, that can't possibly be even closely remotely true. That's insanity.
What about tickets for or hassles for people in vehicles? I heard at the Huff meeting a couple days ago from someone who regularly goes by out on Belorus and Swift or wherever that is out at the west end of town, that they are beginning to ticket vehicles again. I'm not sure whether they're probably using the 72-hour law rather than the OVO law. But
I don't really know. Yeah, I mean, so when the tow, we talked to the tow company, they said it was the OVO when they took Alicia's RV, but the ticket didn't say anything about that ordinance. So that is, unclear what's going on there. I guess the other, only other kind of news around Tuna Bombs is that we been told by friends of Sandy Brown that the city council really wants to get rid of us, but that the city attorney's office suggested that wasn't wise. So there's that. But we're, like, cranking. We got great volunteers, but we need more volunteers because it is, like, insane amount of things going on. Mm-hmm. And a lot of logistical issues. Like, I just got a report that the hook, we have to rewire the, you know, the trailer to so that we can attach it, you know, have the brake lights on the, so we got broken stuff all the time, stolen stuff all the time, like anybody. And I can imagine things are going to get real, every week it just seems more psycho, but it's like a frog in water with the heat being slowly turned up.
Very gradually, yeah.
It's kind of like that, but it seems like, I counted 20 shuttered storefronts on Pacific Avenue. I took pictures of each of them.
When was that?
So that I don't see how the economy is going to...
When was that, Keith?
...pick up and people are going to be in trouble.
When was that?
What else is there going on? I'm trying to finish my book.
When did you take those photos?
I took them in May, in May, I think. I don't know, at the end of May. I think I did it, I think they were May 22nd. And because I also took pictures of the... Whenever the stock market first entered bear market, because I actually went to take pictures of the... You know, there's the name bear market and bull market comes from a tradition of pitting a bear and a bull against one another. That's what used to happen at San Lorenzo Park back in the late 1700s up to the Civil War, basically, a little after the Civil War. And they used to bring bears and a bear and a bull and have them fight against each other. Whoever died, was the people that placed bets on them were,
Yeah, kind of like cockfights, I guess.
Yeah, just with a bear.
Well, I understand you also went up to, and you've been helping your old colleague and our occasional broadcaster friend, Commander X Chris Doyen. Any reports on him?
Oh, yeah, he got out, and that was insane. We stayed out there till Well, we went to see his court appearance and did a protest in front of it, and yellow ribbons were sent from all over the world messages of freedom. And then
tell us
settled the case, which was good.
Tell us briefly. Tell us what the case is about. You and I both know, but
okay. So what happened? There were two different things. There was like a peace camp, 2010. Admitted to and did.
That was here in Santa Cruz.
In Santa Cruz, and this was and part of it was. You'll know the details of why that occupation was sparked. But anyway, he was involved with another person who also was participated in the blocking of PayPal after PayPal cut off their services to Wikipedia or WikiLeaks.
Mm-hmm.
So he did a denial of service. He organized like a worldwide anonymous to shut down the county building for 30 minutes or IT. Stuff. And so the judge was pretty cool, and then she called it cyber protest, and that it was nonviolent, civil disobedience. She repeated that a bunch of times in the hearing. Then the other case was a similar thing, although maybe even more sophisticated, because it involved, like, my understanding is replacing images on Facebook, websites of tourist websites in Orlando when they were arresting for not bombs there. There was a total, I think, of 24 arrests in the summer of 2011.
That was where you were arrested, right, Keith, for essentially, I guess it was a trespass because they wanted to ban Food Not Bombs workers from using the parks and also other charity, people wanted to...
Like what happened was when you'd get arrested... So I was arrested on, I forget the date, but anyway, I was arrested for violating the large group feeding law, and then got out after, I guess, 2 days or something like that, and then I got arrested again for both that law, violating that law, plus a stay-away order, so trespass for going back and serving food again. So
now is this
stay 18 days total in Orange County Jail?
Is this stay away order? I'm interested because, as you know, I had thought Santa Cruz has a very unusual stay away law itself that it was using extensively over the last 6 or 7 years. Although I haven't heard of it being used a lot, and I haven't looked at the records for the last 2 years. But is this a similar? Do you know much about this Florida ordinance?
This one is like a my understanding was because I had been arrested and in that park, so this one, you can just get a stay away without being arrested, but in parks and stuff, and it can be all kinds of lengths of time.
Yeah, here in Santa Cruz, the police can issue these orders. This order that you were held under was issued by a judge, is that right, in Florida?
It's still the cops.
Really? Interesting.
But it's somewhat different than here, in that typically, but maybe there's a possibility of you just getting a stay away order out of a park randomly without having to be arrested or accused of a crime or something.
So Chris tried to broadcast this, his objections to this, by essentially... letting the Florida authorities and the Santa Cruz authorities know that there were people all over the world who were outraged at the behavior of people toward the Santa Cruz homeless and, the Florida, Orlando, Florida homeless. Would that be accurate?
Yeah, so he got people from all over the world to participate in disrupting tourist sites.
More of that in a moment, but here's a little musical relief.
You still know.
Well, that was Out of Step, the first musical number, at least, that's saved on their, I guess it's their audio cassette. It's an ancient copy of it, and I apologize for the sound quality. I'm having problems with my computer setup, so it's all going to be a little makeshift with this particular show. Anyway, the San Francisco Mime Troupe did this in 1988. It was a production called Ripped Van Winkle, and it's about a guy who falls asleep and wakes up in 1968. He falls asleep in 1988. He wakes up. Here's what Wikipedia, I'm not always a big fan of, writes about it. Let's see here. They have all the mime troupes through 2019 listed, all their productions. But this is described as exploring the gap between the optimism of 1968, Ripped Van Winkle is, and the reality of 1988. So we're going to be playing some more songs from it. I only wish the Mime Troupe would actually put out some videos of its old performances. Or at least the audios, the musical numbers from its old performances, and you can get a few of them, but not many. It's a real pity. So this is about the real cost of gentrification. No, actually, that's another one of their productions, Offshore, which I've never seen. But you'll be hearing more from the Ripped Van Winkle crew in the course of this show. Now let's get back to Keith McHenry. Santa Cruz, the police can issue these orders. This order that you were held under was issued by a judge, is that right, in Florida?
Still the cops.
Really? Interesting.
But it's somewhat different than here, in that typically, you know. But maybe there's a possibility of you just getting a stay away or out of a park randomly without having to be arrested or accused of a crime or something.
So Chris tried to broadcast this, his objections to this, by essentially letting the Florida authorities and the Santa Cruz authorities know that there were people all over the world who were outraged at the behavior of people toward the Santa Cruz homeless and, you know, the Florida, Orlando, Florida homeless. Would that be accurate?
Yeah, so he got people from all over the world to participate in disrupting tourist sites. He would announce which site they wanted to go after, and then the people would do it. And so he kind of coordinated that. But he had participation in other actions, like against the Mubarak government and Egypt and an action against the Israeli government because of Gaza, things like that. So not that he's specifically a hacker, but I guess you could call him a hacker. He's more of like a cyber protester.
And he was abducted from Mexico after he did a live broadcast with you where you were interviewing him from the benchlands. Is that accurate?
Yeah, so every Saturday for a while there, we were going around doing live broadcasts out of the benchlands. Unfortunately, all that equipment got stolen by somebody on my birthday of all days in San Francisco. So I wanted to replace all that equipment. But
how is he looking? Because I know that when I saw him about 4 months ago in the court very briefly, he looked like he'd aged considerably. But again, I hadn't seen him for 10 years. But some people may remember Chris from here. You spent some time with him after he was released, right?
Yeah. So he was very pale, very, very thin, having a hard time walking. It's kind of and mainly he's missing his dogs. And then he's trying to get to Idaho to help his sister because she's, they're just like hoping to, that's his last remaining blood family, and his younger sister. And so he does look frail and pale, very white. So one of the whitest people I've ever seen. He's super excited. He's you know, he's been organizing with Anonymous all over about all kinds of things, on mainly on Twitter. That's his thing, and so that's been really cool. And
anything coming up in the next week or two that you want to note?
Oh, well, just the when he participation at the different 4th of July parades.
And you don't know where this. I guess there's. This will be netcast on.
It's in all the papers, you know.
I'll try to find it and mention it.
I know it's like 2 o'clock somewhere in Scotts Valley, and I forget the. It's the shortest march and parade in the world.
Oh, Capitola,
advertised
maybe.
In Aptos. So then after that, I don't really have a plan. So here's the. But in the larger sense, here's what's happening, which we need to get. Busy working on, but so we're going to on Martin Luther King weekend is going to be the statewide homeless union conference, and then so we're going to have events on Labor Day and on you know the winter solstice when we do the you know the memorial service to the people that died on the streets, and leading up to a statewide conference. And no, God, by that time it should be really crazy, you know, but people living on the streets is going to be beyond.
Now, is it the rumor true that you are preparing bomb shelters for the homeless because of the threat of nuclear war over the Ukraine?
No, I'm not working on bomb shelters at all, but it does seem like people should be organizing. I know there's a World Beyond War, Kathy Kelly with, you know, with... Dang, what is the, you know, Dorothy Day's group? Oh, man, I forget that one.
Catholic Worker, perhaps?
What did you just say?
Catholic Worker.
Yeah, Catholic Worker, yeah, that's what it is. And I also know that, David Swanson, who did Downing Street memos, he's working on it. Medea Benjamin, a bunch of pink people, Food Not Bombs, on different actions surrounding that. But this guy should be like a damn sight, you know, bigger. Because that's getting by the hour worse and worse. And threats by the U.S. and by NATO. And every day it's like more money, $800 million. They just sent off in more weapons to Ukraine, you know, $40 billion at one point. It's meanwhile there's nothing for people living on the streets, really. It's just letting Americans find a patch of grass or a doorway to live in while they're flooding money over there. Now there's more oil shutoffs in Europe. There's a blockade of a train breaking a treaty since roughly World War II, with Russia. There's every kind of provocation. And then Russia keeps claiming they do these hypersonic missile attacks on weapons depots, and they just to send a message that they mean business, and they keep threatening nuclear war. There's a new report that the Pentagon believes China is going to launch missiles at Okinawa. So the U.S. I guess Israel just shot down a bunch of Iranian drones this morning. So it's like all the possible ways of making a mistake to end up in a global war seem to be, while at the same time our people are becoming, and the people of the world are becoming more and more, you know, impoverished, and more people becoming homeless. Prices of everything going up, and then Biden promised food shortages that we needed to sacrifice for the war effort, but you expect food shortages and higher prices for everything. So it's.
I'm going to stop you before I slit my throat here, Keith. It's it's good information, but let me let you sort of wind it down and give me your final comments.
Well, we need, it looks like the government isn't going to do crap for anybody, so it's all hands on deck to do it ourselves. And And, you know, so we've really got to do, one thing is, we've really got to get to a point where more and more people are getting clean and sober to try to deal with this thing. So we have more able-bodied people that are not kind of hamstrung by the government's chemical warfare on them. So, you know, that we got a lot of work to do, and it's an unbelievably crazy thing. But I think we're at about 850 days of nonstop serving food every single day. St. Francis still is handing out bag lunches. That's it. So there's still there's no really organized meals happening in town for people that live outside or are marginal or poor, other than food out bombs. So I think it would be really, city council to be considering shutting us down is ridiculous,
Dig it. Well, I'm going to shut you down, but it's
okay. Foodoutbombs.net.
Indeed, and any day between 12 and 3 at the town clock.
Yeah, 12 and 3, 7 days a week. We also accept clothing, blankets, pup tents, and food, and everybody's welcome. And this 4th of July, I believe there's going to be a free concert at the meal, starting around noon. And Johnny and those people are talking that way, so I think there probably will be a 4th of July concert and party. So
dig it. Thank you, Keith.
There's a World Food Not Bomb Zoom meeting tomorrow at 9 in Pacific Standard Time.
That's going to be
Of any of the Food Not Bombs.
Probably by that time we'll have
Bombs Global Facebook.
I'm afraid that would be some hours after we've played you, but yeah, that sounds. Thank you. Thanks for all the info, man.
Okay, there you have it.
You take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Let's go back a few days to the scene of the crime itself, the Food Not Bombs meal at the town clock. Here's a few words from there. Talking with, name right, I think it's Siegel, who's a chef for Food Not Bombs. Has it changed much, the... Have you done any cooking yet, or have yet to begin?
I did a little cooking on a Saturday, just to get acquainted with the kitchen, mostly.
It's like a bigger kitchen than it used to be.
It's at the convention center that used to be Borland International.
I was up there actually picking up some... coffee. We were doing a coffee clash at the City Hall. Are they still in need of cooks, or how's it looking?
I hear we need a crew for Thursdays. I think it's just going to be Keith McHenry and myself for now.
And... Are you outside these days in your return to Santa Cruz?
I'll be outside on Wednesday night.
Yeah. So you're being evicted from your accommodations?
Lack of funds, yeah.
So are you at, what are you paying for, motels, or how are you dealing with?
I'm at the Motel Santa Cruz on...
How much does that cost?
$1,500
per
room
per week. That's a chunk of change.
Yeah. I made a little money in Oregon when I was there.
What kind of work were you doing?
Horse sales.
Really? Selling horses?
Selling my sister's horses.
Have you done that kind of stuff before?
Yes.
Wow. Is there a market?
It runs in the family.
Is there a market for horses in Oregon?
Not really. The economic downturn is getting pretty pricey in southern Oregon. plus the drought. It's hard to keep horses in the drought.
Are you a man who's grown up around horses?
Yes.
How does it feel down here in Santa Cruz where there's nary a horse to be seen, at least not in downtown?
Well, that's how much drama that
Well, the horses are there in the mountains and other areas.
Well, I see my victim here has returned from the bathroom, so your time is almost up here.
Wish everybody a happy summer. Be safe. It's going to be a dry one.
Looks like it's going to be a hot one, but just today is cool. And we've been talking with?
Sea Otter.
Thank you, Sea Otter, and thank you for supplying food for people who are hungry. You were checking over while we're talking.
This is Cooper.
Cooper, the flyer that I passed on to you, it's stop the attacks on poor women in Santa Cruz, stop the sweets. What do you make of this stuff? Am I spreading false alarms here? What do you think?
I guess. I don't know. I haven't seen any action towards any of the threats. I think a lot of the threats about moving people or the sweeps is so that people don't have a chance to relax. You know, it's kind of a psychological war crime so that people constantly feel like there's no security and that soon again they'll be, you know, it may be a worse condition is what it alludes to, but I don't believe that. I still think everybody's going to the paradox.
I see. That sounds paradoxical to me, right. Considering that nobody's in the paradox these days, at least nobody without money.
Well, that's it. It's being saved for our crew who are homeless, and it's at the same timing that a lot of our crew were kicked out of the Oceana. So several people who
happened
been,
just recently.
Right, just recent. And so I think it's because the ones with the least amount of money and the least amount of things win. So God's got a better spot for them to be.
Fortunately, God does not own the paradox at this time.
I believe it's all been planned. I think we're some kind of a interactive experiment of a video game.
Devils who are running the paradox planning to simply make more money this summer is the question.
Well, I really think that our crews are going in there because in the past the paradox housed UCSC students, so they're more geared towards residential living than hotel guests who are tourists.
Yeah. Now, has there been more, what kind of tales have you heard from women outside in the last few months?
Tales from the crypt.
Good, bad, indifferent?
Well, it's the same. We still have a lot of women who are in the street with, you know, with no shelter or just a blanket. A lot of people that have been kicked out of these city-run, like, armory program and the other programs in the tents. I'm sorry that I don't remember all the names they've given them, you know. They changed management and then they changed names, but it's kind of the same.
Same old game.
Same old game. But, so there have been a few, you know, and any time you put people in a concentrated situation where they're living one on top of each other, I mean, that's why individuals like to go buy their own home or get their own apartment. It's good to have and healthy to have personal space. So I do agree with the concentration camp that that's what it's become. And a lot of the camps that are managed by the city very strictly with, you know, restrictions on visitors and restrictions on you can't come and go on your own and all this stuff. That's a concentration camp where everybody's under the subjection of somebody else. How? We are being repressed. Do you see I'm being repressed here? Monty Python. I think we're just going to have to turn it into a divine comedy.
It already is more of a divine tragedy for some.
It is a...
Not so divine, maybe more satanic.
It's a comedy and a tragedy, but it's going to turn out good. It turns around, and people have to kind of forget old ideas about certain things, you know, how certain things are supposed to be. You're supposed to look like this, and you're supposed to drive this, and you're supposed to have... They have to let go old ideas, you know. We're going to turn it around. I think even our California prisons are going to be healing a crew, and it's going to become the new Castle crew. We're all going to Hungary.
Or else run by heels, one of the two.
Yeah, we're the chosen few. God found the holiest heathens, and that's it. We're the chosen few.
So have you talked to anybody who are in these county programs, the ones that are not in hotels, the ones that are outside, and will be baking in the sun as times heat up?
I'm not sure what your question is.
Oh, you know, the campgrounds. And there was the campgrounds up in the benchlands. I guess they're called the Lookout now these days. You know, and 1220 River. Apparently, they're being run without a lot of protection for people in the tents from the heat.
Right, and that regarding that, that's what I was talking about earlier. That I talked to a lady last night who was kicked out of one of those, I think, and that it's been so hot they don't have any sunshades. Yeah, that it's.
Why was she kicked out?
I don't know, because I wasn't there.
You haven't yet infiltrated to get the idea to see, lead them instead to the Hotel Paradox, the promised land.
It's so hard. There's so many people in crisis, and they're at so many different levels of crisis, and they'll have a good day and they'll have a couple bad days, you know, and so we just keep loving them until, you know, help arrives. That's how it goes.
And we have been talking with...
This is Cooper D'Angelo.
Any other thoughts, Cooper?
No, but thank you, Robert, for taking the time to listen to people's voice.
I see a man jaywalking across the street here. I better make sure he's legal. You got any badges or ID on you?
No, I've been run off from here by someone who threatened to beat me up for smoking a cigarette, so I'm not even working here anymore.
Bummer.
I don't know. If we're going to get beat up, we might be...
I don't know. I'm going to have to run away with it.
You might be marked, and now...
So you're going to help criminalize this poor man?
A lot of people don't like me and don't want me working here.
I don't mind you.
Well, no, a lot of people don't want me working here.
I actually will contribute to his...
Thank you.
Thank you, Dread Eye. That's Dread Eye. Comment from Cooper that there are women additionally, particularly in their vehicles, who some of whom are working, and you see sort of an influx of this?
Right, from seeing how many, there's like a different level of homelessness. Our crew at San Lorenzo are really focused and highlighted, but they're a real small few compared to the amount of people who are homeless living in their vehicle. And on one end, it's easier to hide, because when you see somebody in a vehicle, you just assume they have a house. But most of who I have met, even people who are working full-time jobs, some of them full-time workers for the county living in their vehicles and working full-time for the county, but the county doesn't pay them enough to live anywhere in California.
How many folks have you talked to in this situation?
I mean, we've run into people all the time, it's just amazing the amount of people living in their vehicles and going to work, you know.
How many in the last week would you say you've run into?
Oh, I don't know. I think that there are about four different women that, I mean, but I see them all the time everywhere, but as far as running into, I think there's like four different women that I see that we have. I mean, I can't even count. Like, there's probably thousands and thousands of women and hundreds that I encounter.
Now, are you spending a lot of time where there's a lot of traffic, or are you just sort of running into folks in the day-to-day.
Yeah, we're just one day at a time. I don't make any long-term plans. You know,
is your usual sleeping spot, shall we say, not terribly public?
Well, no. Actually, we were staying over there by the Little Red Church, but then they took out and tore out that public parking lot. And so we were actually paying $5 to be able to park our vehicle there from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. And all the parking lots are free after 8 p.m. So it was nice to be able to, you know, have some continuity and not have to go
here.
Did they
deliver coffee and donuts to you for your $5 payment, or did they just take your money and say, next?
Pretty much, but I know it started out as $3.75, and then we stayed there like two nights, and then they upped it to $5.
This Association of Faith Communities?
I don't know. It's the city's parking lot, or the county, and then they came in with fences.
How long ago?
June 6th was the day that they closed it off and started tearing out the parking lot, I guess, to build something else for some private developer, or they're using the parking lot again for construction equipment for a private developer.
So you've moved to a more secretive spot?
Yeah, I mean, we have spots.
Are you pretty much out of the public eye, or?
No, not really, because we have so many people that we're kind of a liaison still for basic human needs, you know, clothing and shelter, and sometimes they just need somebody to talk to, and sometimes it helps the morale of the soldiers, you know, and really, that is it. You know, if you can help somebody get through the day, that they may have a really great day the next, you know? I mean, we're just here to help.
I've heard the Association of Faith Communities through the city has opened up a couple of parking lots elsewhere in the downtown area. Heard anything about that?
No. The only thing that I heard was probably what you're talking about, where there were different parking lots coinciding with the churches who were doing the overnight sleep stuff, and but we never really sign up for anything. You have to kind of sign up to be in there. You have to sign up with the church. You have to sign up with, and so we're kind of like free. We're like free. We're not on any program or on anybody's list.
You ain't on nobody's stinking list? Is that what
you're
saying?
We're probably on some list, but we could be on the naughty list and the nice list.
Well, I'll make my own list and tell you.
Okay.
And again, we've been talking with...
This is Cooper D'Angelo.
Thank you, Cooper.
Thank you.
They're talking loud and laughing.
was Just Another Day in the 80s, again from Ripped Van Winkle by the San Francisco Mime Troupe, which should be coming to town in a few months, probably with an actual in-person production. I believe last 2 years they just had sort of online productions because of COVID. Usually they show up in San Lorenzo Park. Could happen again this time. Have to share the space with Benchlands residents. That might be interesting.